Haven of Hope Church, a true Pentecostal church with outward and upward praise and worship of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. In the coming fulfillments of the prophecies of the Scriptures, the sea of humanity, in need and without hope, will flood our church. As God has promised in a word to us, if you remain faithful to me, I will remain faithful to you. With that promise in mind and the word that God has given us, we now know that Jesus Christ, through His church, has become the haven of hope for the hopeless. Haven of Hope Church, bringing hope to the hopeless in a hopeless world. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.
Welcome to Hope for the Hopeless, the sanctuary ministry of the Haven of Hope Church of God at 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road in Fremont, North Carolina, just off Highway 222 between Kinley and Fremont, and just off Memorial Church Road just outside of Fremont. We pray the day finds you blessed and highly favored of the Lord. The Scripture says to give honor where honor is due and tribute to whom tribute. And we'd like to take this opportunity to say a very special thank you to Save News Network for making this ministry opportunity available to us here at the Haven of Hope Church. The following service is from our Sunday morning church service. It is indeed a joy and privilege to welcome you to our service this morning. It shouldn't take long at all for you to discover that the Lord has ordered your steps today to one of the best churches you've ever been. The people here are all about loving and caring about your family. Before you leave today, you will have discovered that you have new friends and that God loves you. Our worship music is covered by our CCLI copyright license, A20958803, Streaming Plus license, A20958810. And we're all just home folks, and we're all just family of God. But all together we'll be having church and praising and worshiping God together, as well as being fed the Word of God. It is our continued prayer that you're blessed of God, and may you be blessed by these services. If you need me for anything, please don't hesitate to call upon me, Pastor J. Mac Taylor. Now here's the message on Hope for the Hopeless from the Haven of Hope Church.
Praise be unto the living God. I'm excited about serving God. I'm excited about going to heaven. Are you excited about going to heaven? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I have told y'all, several of you, we mentioned earlier that I'm going to debut my new song on the fifth Sunday night. I haven't quite finished making the track for it yet, but I have been, for the last 10 days, the Lord has poured a new song into me. And I have been able to do nothing but think about that song for 10 days. I'm going to be reading from Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. The song is about, is very different than any one I've ever written. And it's about someone that I tried to witness to, and they refused to hear it. And now they've died. They've died in their sin. And the song is not a happy one, but it's got a hook. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying I'm doing a great job. What I'm saying is, God gave me this song. It just fell out of my fingers. I was trying out a new guitar the other night, and the song just fell out of my fingers. It was not me trying to write it. It just came to me. Okay, you know what I mean? And it's got a hook to it. Once you hear it, you can't get it out of your head. And I'm hoping that the words of that song, people hear it and they can't get it out of their head. I'm hoping that the words of that song will stick with them if they're not saved. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, and when you found that, if you wouldn't mind, if you're able to stand, would you please stand for the reading of God's Word? My, what a beautiful congregation we have today. And if you don't have your Bible with you, Mason's got it on the screen behind me. It's just one verse of Scripture. And it's one that I've come to know very well. Hebrews 9 and 27 says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this is judgment," the judgment. Would you stretch your hands this way and pray for me this morning? My Father God, I am your servant. I'm your vessel. Use me today, dear God, to speak only that which you would have me speak. And dear God, anoint me to speak all of that which you would have me speak. And anoint me, dear God, to bring it and deliver it in a way that would glorify and uplift you. and would reach and minister to all the souls under the sound of my voice, either in this house or through live stream or radio or TV, dear God, and all the media outlets on which we broadcast. We ask, dear God, for your anointing to be upon it, dear God, that it might reach hearts and souls and draw the lost unto you to salvation. Lord, bless it to the name of Jesus, and we thank you and praise you, O God. And everybody said, amen. You can be seated. I'm telling you, that song has absolutely consumed me. I'm listening to it going down the road over and over and over, trying to pick things out and trying to add to it and trying to get it right. I just can't get my vocals right to save my life. But the song, I just can't get it out of my head. It's the last thing I hear before I go to sleep, and I wake up hearing it in my mind. My heart's been very, very burdened to find the ultimate lyrics that go along with that hook so that it'll reach somebody and possibly cause somebody to accept Christ and to come to him and have their names written into the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. My soul is heavily burdened for the lost right now. I already had this Sunday's message written. In the second service of the revival, God gave me a message, and I was sitting there writing it on my phone, and Sister Tammy Barnes jumped all over me because I was playing on my phone during service. But I was writing a message for Sunday morning, and I knew I was going to get to preach it last Sunday because that was Mother's Day and Sarah was preaching. So I was going to have to wait 2 weeks to preach it. Well, I'm going to have to wait further still because I could not get away from this message this morning. It used to be, saints, that men feared death, because death was the ultimate fear. Death was the ultimate end all. It was done. You can't fix it. It's over. Praise God. We know Jesus can fix that. Amen. There ain't no ultimate done with Jesus. Jesus can fix that. And I know that I used to, before I came to know Jesus, before I knew anything about the Lord, before I knew anything about serving God, I always thought that dying meant going into absolute oblivion. I always thought that it meant absolute nothingness. You couldn't think of anything. You couldn't do anything. You couldn't see anything. You couldn't feel anything. And that thought terrified me. I would lay awake at night as a young boy, being terrified by that, thinking, I can't stand the thoughts of that. And I was thinking, but everybody's going to die. There's no way to stop it. I'm going to die. Everybody's going to die. Well, guess what, saints? Everybody will die. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. The Bible says that in Matthew 10 and 28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. It used to be that death was the fear all, that was the ultimate fear. But now that I have come to a knowledge, death, if it was just simply oblivion, if it was just simply that thing of nothingness like I used to fear and terrorize over, that would be awesome. But now death means two other things. Either an eternity in heaven with the Savior, come on somebody. Amen. Or a death, an eternity in a place that God never intended for you to go. A place that God created as an eternal punishment for the devil and his angels. And God never wanted you to go there. Well, Brother Mac, why does he send people there? God don't send nobody to hell. I used to think my grandma, Mama Hazel, Hurricane Hazel, I used to have it in my mind that God ain't going to send me to hell. And she met me on the path between our houses one day because she lived right in front of us. And she met me on that path one day. It was a cold day, about November, overcast skies, and might even have been drizzling rain. And she stopped me in the middle of the woods, and she said, "Son, I know what you're thinking." She said, "You're thinking that you're basically a good person. And because you're basically a good person, God is love." Anybody ever heard that? Oh, God is love. God loves. God's love is great. God's love is awesome. And it truly is. And if God is love and God's love is great and awesome, he is too good a God to send a basically good person to hell. And she said to me, "That's what you're thinking." And she had that nice little smile that slapped you right in the face when you were looking at it. And she said, "You think you're not going to hell because a God who is so good and so much love we couldn't possibly send a basically good person to hell. She said, but son, God's not sending you to hell. You're choosing hell by not accepting the free gift he gave you to get to heaven. You're sending yourself there by not accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Eternal damnation. I thought you were trying to get my attention. Eternal damnation. I used to lie in bed at night, terrified. Well, I thought she was talking to me then. She was talking to Renee. I got to get my focus back over here. I used to lie in bed at night, terrorized about dying and going into oblivion. But now, if you're unsaved, if you don't know Jesus, the one thing that ought to terrify you at night is if Jesus were to come and you don't know him. If Jesus were to come now and you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, that should terrify you. Because it's a far worse fear. At least oblivion was complete and total nothingness. But hell is an agony that surpasses our wildest imagination. The thought of the second death is the absolute epitome of fear. Like those guys who mocked Noah. You remember that? God told Noah to build an ark. You know where Noah was when God told him to build the ark? He was on a mountain in the woods, miles and miles and miles away from the sea. And God told Noah to build an ark. And y'all know how big the ark was? And it took Noah 140 years to build that ark. And the whole time he was building it, he was preaching to the people. God said he's going to send the rain. He's going to send the flood. People was like, what's a rain? Because it had never rained before. Water was always springing up out of the ground before this happened. And they said, we don't believe it. It ain't never happened before. Does that sound familiar? It ain't never happened before. Jesus ain't come yet. He ain't coming now. Oh, my friends. Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Those of you watching by live stream, Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Those of you listening by radio, Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Noah preached to the people. Come on, repent and join us. You know what they did, though? Instead of repenting and joining him, they didn't do that. And, most folks, if you say something to them, you ask them to do something that they don't want to do, they're going to leave you alone and go away. They didn't do that. They would all gather out there around the woods and sit around and mock Noah and his boys and make fun of them and poke fun and slander them, ridicule them for being stupid. Can't believe you're being so foolish working on this boat all these years. You ain't going to get it to float. How you going to get it in the water? You can't drag it to the water. But saints of God, there was a day that came. And when the day came that it did finally start raining, it was a terrible day. They mocked him. It had never rained before, they mocked him. But when those rains came, and the flood started following, the flood started coming in, and then when that happened, God did something. See, people miss this. There's a lot of preachers who preach about it, but people miss this. Noah didn't close the door of the ark when the flood started coming. God shut that door. There wasn't no handle on it. God shut the door. And when God shut it, Noah couldn't open it. God shut the door before the floods came in and got that high. And when he did, and all of a sudden, all these people that spent 140 years mocking and ridiculing and slandering Noah were beating on the side of the boat. Noah, open the door. Open the door, let us in. We're going to drown. Open the door. But Noah couldn't open the door. Can you imagine what those people had been ridiculing and slandering and mocking him for all those years? Can you imagine what was going through their minds at that moment? He was right. The door's not going to open. What have we done? We're going to drown in this water. We're going to die. There was a finality. There was a sudden stark realization. There was a painful sudden knowledge. We're going to die. And we did it ourselves. There was a free gift of life offered. And we made fun of it. We mocked it. We turned it down. And now we're just moments away from death here, Lord, in heaven. Can you imagine that fear? That they had made their final mistake. And they were drowning. And while they were drowning, they knew they could have had life. Only the stark realization of getting ready to wake up in hell is going to be far worse than drowning in the flood. Do you know what happens when you drown? You know what happens in your body when you drown in water? You go under the water and you try your best to hold your breath. You don't die from suffocating trying to hold your breath when you drown. You die thinking at the last moment your body forces you, and you die thinking at the last moment that you can breathe water. And you take water and it fills your lungs. And that stops you immediately. You die. But drowning in the lake of fire, you won't die. Drowning in the lake of fire, you'll be breathing in that liquid fire. In the lake of fire. And it won't kill you. It'll only be the most agonizing, terrorizing pain humanity has ever known, and it'll keep happening over and over and over. The flesh will literally melt from your bones and reappear. The canker worms will be devouring your flesh while it's there, and they will never die. You'll be begging and pleading with God. God, I know, I trust you now, I believe you now. Let me out. I promise you I'll do better. Help me, dear God. But there, once you're there, there is no help. That stark, sudden realization that you've made that final mistake. I'm telling you, have y'all seen the videos on YouTube and Facebook about those people in churches and the rapture happens while they're in church and suddenly they're still left there? Can you imagine the terror that's going through their minds because they suddenly realize where they are and what they have done? All those people who said, I've got a special deal with God. All those people who say, I don't believe you got to live that way. All those people who say, I still got more time. And they'll be sitting there looking at the empty clothes laying on the floor from the people that were called away. Can you imagine the tear and the fear and the terror that's going to be going through their minds at that time? The saddest thing of all of this is it was not meant to be that way. The entire Bible, the entirety of human history, God set things in motion for one purpose. So that we would have a choice. That's the reason He gave us a free choice. So that we could choose whether or not to love Him. Choose whether or not to serve Him. Choose whether or not to live by what thus saith the Word of God. We choose whether or not to do that. And by that, we choose whether or not we're going to heaven or hell. The entirety of human creation and human history was for that purpose. So that we would go through all the time that has happened since creation and make up our minds to choose to love Him or choose eternal damnation. God's not sending anybody to hell. Anybody that goes there has done it themselves. Look what He's done to get you to heaven. Look all through the Old Testament, what He's done. Look all through the New Testament. Look what He took a literal part of Himself, made it human, and came as a baby. And went through all the trials and temptations that we go through. And grew up as a man. And when He was 33 years old, He let Him be crucified, tortured, tormented, beaten, scourged, and die on the cross to pay for our sins. All of that was so that we could accept Him as Lord and Savior. All of that was so that we could go to heaven and live for Him. There's a song that talks about, when He was on the cross, I was on His mind. He was the head in time. there's a study that's been done that, because we've all read the scripture where at the end, after the crucifixion, they were trying to figure out whether or not Christ was dead, and the centurion went in front of him with a spear and pierced his side, and when he pierced his side, blood and water flowed out of his side. Well, the water that flowed out of his side was a fluid, a clear fluid that surrounds our heart. I forget the name of that sac, but it happens that when your heart breaks, and your heart breaks through absolute angst and turmoil and pain and pushing too hard, people's hearts literally do burst. And when it happens, it bursts that sac and the water will flow. If you've got a pierced side, water will flow out. And when Jesus' side was pierced, water flowed out. Can you imagine? I've had some preachers say he died of a heartbreak. Why would he die of a heartbreak? Because he looked ahead in time. And he saw all the things that God did to prepare us. And God did so that we would have an opportunity. And so that we would all choose whether or not to serve him. All those things that God did so that we would choose to serve him and choose to live eternity in heaven. He looked ahead and saw all of that and realized there were still people saying, you ain't got to live that way. You ain't got to do that. You can get to heaven. There's more ways to heaven than Jesus. My Bible says there's only one way to heaven. No man goeth into the Father but by him. You don't get to heaven without Jesus. People choosing to live any old way and thinking it's going to be okay. We had three young people come out to the yard sale yesterday. And they started biblical discussion with us. And those discussions lasted between an hour and 2 hours.
Our pastor's speaking about not being left behind. The rapture's coming. Please turn to the Lord. And even if the rapture don't come, even in your lifetime, sooner or later we're all going to die. And there's going to come a time that we better be right with the Lord. As I said, send your prayer request in.
There's only one way to the Father, and that's through His Son, Jesus. He is He's the scapegoat. He is the sacrifice for all sins. And He can forgive sins. He will forgive sins. Just turn your life over to Him today for a brand new life, for real life, because He is the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen, He is. We want to pray for a friend of mine. Her name is Lisa. She's been going through cancer. She's had reconstructive surgery. She's in the hospital. She just had another surgery this week. So let's lift up her name in prayer.
Yes.
Please help us pray. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we ask you to touch Lisa and heal her, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Heal her, Father God. We pray, Father God, against that cancer. We pray against every bit of the soreness she's feeling from that operation. And we pray, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, that you would heal her with expedient healing, Lord. With expedient healing, Lord, give her comfort, Lord. She has a great faith in you, Lord. And I pray, Father God, that she'll get out of that hospital soon and heal fast.
Yes,
Father. In the mighty name of Jesus.
In Jesus' name. I would like to pray for a friend of mine. Her husband died yesterday. Her name is Dorothy. So, Father, we just lift up Miss Dorothy to you in Jesus' name. I ask you to comfort Dorothy.
Yes, Lord.
I ask you to surround her with your angels,
yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
She has lost her husband, Father.
Yes,
but
Lord.
We know that
yes,
you are
Lord.
The God of all comfort, the God of all peace.
Yes, Lord.
Holy Spirit, comfort her.
Yes.
Be there for her. Be her husband now.
Yes, Lord.
Lord Jesus. Father, I just pray you send your angels to minister to and for her. In Jesus' name, give her peace, Lord.
Yes, yes.
Order her future. Order her steps.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Because she still has a future. Yes, in you, Lord. And I pray, Father,
thank you, Father.
Be there for her and open the way for her. Show her the way.
Yes, Lord.
And let her know you are there for her.
Thank you, Father.
You are her stable refuge and fortress. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We have a prayer request for Carol Person, and she has lost her husband last week, I think it was. But let's pray for her that she will gain the strength that she needs in the Lord. That's a hard place. I've been there. It's a very hard place. But I know that God can help her.
Yes.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Sister Carol to you, and we pray for complete inner healing and strength that only comes from you, Father God. We pray, Father God, right now that your comfort would come over her, Lord. Help her to realize that you're with her, Lord God. Give her strength, Lord. Give her strength, Lord. And every person, Lord God, that can help her and lend her a hand and help her out, and always, Lord. I know you got your people, Lord, and I asked you to cause them to walk beside her, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I thank you for it, Lord. We lift it all up to you, Lord.
Yes,
God.
Oh God.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Thank you,
Father. Hallelujah. God. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
I'd like for us to pray for Brother Bob that he'll have a safe trip. He's gone to see his sisters in New Hampshire. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you for your traveling mercies around Bob and James as they go, Lord. I thank you, Father God, for working out every situation for them, Lord. I turn it over to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you to bless and touch each and every person in that's listening to us today.
Yes.
I pray they get their life right with you.
Yes.
I thank you, Lord God, that no situation is too hard for you. And I give you all honor, glory, and praise in the mighty name of Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you for it, Lord.
Y'all are welcome to come to our services. We'll have another service at 6 o'clock tonight. We are a loving church. Come and be with us.
Yes. All are welcome. God bless you all.
Got one more thing we need to do this morning, and if you would all show me your right hand. It's a simple sinner's prayer I've been teaching the children and youth for 35 years. It's a five-part prayer, and each part is represented by each finger. Repeat after me, with your thumb, dear Lord, I'm a sinner. Jesus, I know you're the Son of God. I know you died on the cross for my sin. You were raised again on the third day. Come into my heart and forgive me, Jesus. Lord, I thank you so much for salvation. I thank you for writing our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. I thank you, dear Lord, for saving us. I thank you, dear Lord, for Jesus coming and dying on the cross for our sins and for the blessing, dear God, of grace and mercy. I thank you for the word today and for your anointing upon the service and for all those who were here today, dear Lord. I ask your blessing to be upon them as we depart and go our separate ways. Keep us safe, healthy, and protected until we should return together again at the next appointed time. Bless our homes, our families, our finances, our spouses and children, our places of business and our property, dear God, that everyone that looks upon us would see you and see your hand upon us, and they would know you love your children, and that they could come to you for salvation. In the blessed and holy and righteous name of Jesus, we thank you and pray. And everybody said, amen.
Our worship music is covered by our CCLI copyright license, A20958803. A Streaming Plus license, A20958810. We thank you for joining us for Hope for the Hopeless on Save News Radio. Join us each week on the air or at the Haven of Hope Church at 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road in Fremont, North Carolina, just off Highway 222 between Kinley and Fremont, and just off Memorial Church Road just outside of Fremont, North Carolina. Service times are Sunday school at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., Kids Storm Children's Church at 11 a.m. in the Youth and Children's Center. Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m. with the fellowship dinner following service in the fellowship hall each Sunday night. Tuesday night old-fashioned prayer and deliverance service at 7:40 p.m. and Wednesday night youth church at 7:30 p.m. or on our Facebook page at the Haven of Hope Church group page. Come and join us at the Haven of Hope Church, hope for the hopeless in a hopeless world. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.